The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune, looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
'81 years versus 91 counts in Biden versus Trump, that is to what it amounts. 81 years versus 91 charges, to me this seems the difference really quite large is. I'd rather take the old guy who's seen 81 years than accept the con man who's collected 91 counts. 'Cause someone who's in legal trouble up to his ears has engaged in illegalities in copious amounts. 91 counts versus 81 years. Please consider those figures as election time nears. Trump has led a life of crime and frankly should be doing time, while Biden may be old but is a better man all told.
There you go. Mangy Fetlocks, our pal Bruce W. Nelson, getting us started for a brand new week. Oh, man. And of course, you know, right out of the gate, Trump is trying to get the New York fraud trial delayed. It is scheduled to begin this month. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We're also waiting any minute now to find out the fate of the Georgia prosecution, whether or not the judge will say Fani Willis went a bit too far. Yeah. You know, I watched, what's the name of it? Deep, oh God, I forget the name of it. It's not Deep Thoughts. The movie that Emma Stone won an Oscar for last night. It'll come to me when I'm not trying to think of it. It's out there. And all I can think of is, you know, Emma Stone had a reason to embrace her sexuality. Fani Willis, you know, time and place for everything. All right. So today is Monday. Jonathan Larson will be along with the fucking news because it's Monday and, you know, we got to start somewhere. But I want to talk a little bit about the Republican response to the State of the Union address. We really didn't talk much about her. Katie Britt, a name that up until the other day, I had not heard. She's the junior senator from Alabama. She didn't come on with one of them accents. Instead, she came on with something kind of worse, trying to put women back in the kitchen barefoot and, I guess, pregnant. Somebody on Twitter, I forget who did it, but they did give props to, oh my God, to someone else for the idea. Anyway, a bit of video marvelness from the shitter machine, starting with James Lipton. James Lipton.
What is your favorite word?
Rural.
What is your least favorite word?
Unvarnished.
What turned you on?
Putin's brutal aggression in Europe.
What turned you off?
Bidenomics.
What sound or noise do you love?
Or...
What sound or noise do you hate?
Moms and dads, just like you.
What is your favorite curse word?
Alabama.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Sweeping the floor at my dad's hardware store.
What profession would you absolutely not like to mess around with?
I'm cleaning the bathroom at my mom's dance studio.
And if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive?
Oh, come on.
Are you better off now than you were 3 years ago?
Yeah. Are you? Yeah, I think you are. All right. Well, I got to say, if I'm a little bit off today, no, I can't blame it on losing an hour's sleep over the weekend, because I didn't. Because, yes, I live now in Arizona.
What is your...
Arizona, who famously does not celebrate or observe, I guess is the correct word, does not observe daylight savings time. Because we have enough daylight here. We got sun up the wazoo. So all along I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be cool because everyone else loses an hour of sleep. I don't. I don't sleep, but you know, that's besides the point. This is a topic for another day. Instead, I lose an hour of show prep time every day. It is now 5 minutes after 2 o'clock in Arizona. We are now on Pacific daylight time. We were behind the East Coast 2 hours until this weekend, and now we're 3 hours. So I lose an hour of show prep time every day. As it was, I was racing to get everything set to go on the air at 3. Now for the next 7 months or whatever, it's 2. So bear with me a little bit, okay? If you will. So a couple of things I want to share with you regarding the person we just saw. So that was Frank Conniff came up with the idea, and a guy named Ben Bauman made that little Inside the Actor's Studio thing that we just watched. I got to tell you, she was creepy, to say the least. In case you didn't see it, let me play for you the pertinent part of Katie Britt's Republican response to the State of the Union address that has come under some fire because Katie lied. That's the name, by the way. Katie Lied is the name of my favorite Steely Dan album. It's got Black Friday on it. It's got Bad Sneakers. It's sort of an obscure, one of the more obscure ones. But Katie Lied, just by way of promoting good music. Anyway, Katie did lie. Katie Britt, in this case, spelled with an I-E, not a Y. Here's the section that she was caught in the lie about.
When I took office, I took a different approach.
Yeah.
I traveled to the Del Rio sector of Texas.
Hmm.
That's where I spoke to a woman who shared her story with me.
Yeah.
She had been sex trafficked by the cartels starting at the age of 12. She told me not just that she was raped every day, but how many times a day she was raped. The cartels put her on a mattress in a shoebox of a room. And they sent men through that door over and over again for hours and hours on end.
For just that's pretty horrible, right? So let me get rid of that here. I hope we're still on. I'm getting some weird stuff from YouTube. Stop it, YouTube. Anyway, we have a friend of the show on the line because our pal Spocko has been doing some research. Hold on. I got to turn this off. Oh, man. Okay. I got to turn this off and bring Spocko on. Spocko, you there?
I'm here.
There you
can
are.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you see me?
No, we can't see you. Because you don't like to be on camera, but I've got your info up on the screen, Spocko, at Spocko's Brain on some of the socials, and hi Spocko. So
hi.
So yeah,
the thing that it was great. I was kind of wanting to have an interruption while she's saying these things, and the lies that she's saying through association and kind of omission. There's a guy on TikTok that put this out, but I mean, Jonathan Katz.
Yes.
And he looked at that and he says, this is interesting. One of the ways that the right wing does their disinformation is by using emotion and leaving out the context of this. So if she went through that same thing again, where she said, I met with this woman when I went in the Del Rio section of Texas.
Right.
Okay.
That's when we say
bullshit.
Right. Yeah.
Well, It was in when was it? Well, it was in 2023 in January. And he did the research and found out, you know, who else was with him. It was like Marsha Blackburn was with her, as well as another senator. And they talked to this woman that she talked to that said, at the time that the woman they were talking to, she referred to her as a 12-year-old. She was, at the time, I believe it was, she was 32, I think it was. And her name is Carla Jacinto Romero.
Yep.
And what was interesting is the way that Britt makes it sound is like this happened in Texas. It happened in the border. Mm-hmm. It did not. It happened in Mexico, Guatemala, Mexico City, in areas. And it happened back in 2004, back when a woman with sex traffics was 12. And who was the president in 2004?
2004, that would have been Barack Obama, wouldn't it?
No, no, no.
Oh, no. 2008. 2004, George W. Bush.
George W. Bush, right, exactly.
Right, right.
The thing is that at the time, the vice president was Dick Cheney. It wasn't Biden.
Right.
Okay. And the other thing is interesting was the whole point of this attack on the migrants coming out and the terrible things, it was to associate Biden, his policies with the border, sex traffic, etc. And it didn't happen at that time.
Nope. Yeah.
So what I loved about when they had on Scarlett Johansson, you know, mocking the way that Katie Britt was, is that she did the same kind of overacting and the kind of serious scariness that was emotional and made you, you know, feel terrible. And she said, yeah, but it didn't. Scarlett said it didn't happen when it said in a different location and under a different president. So that's what I loved about that whole bit. Besides, it was hilarious. It used the, you know, the comedy in a way to totally destroy her disinformation at the time. And I went out and did some more research on this just because I liked, you know, follow up.
Yes.
And I looked at the same thing that Jonathan did. It turns out that the woman that she had talked to is professional activist, and she went and spoke in 2015 in front of Congress about doing something about the various different types of sex trafficking and sexual tourism that comes from the United States, etc. And the woman who was the attorney general at the time in 2015 was Loretta Lynch.
Oh, right.
And And they were talking about her, and one of the professionals who came up and talked about it says, Loretta Lynch is known as the nightmare of the pimps for them.
Uh-huh.
Now, compare this to the attorney general for, I don't know, say, Bill Barr, who was big friends with Epstein.
Yes, right.
So
yes.
Just like to point that out.
Hey, Spocko, I saw there's the woman who she was talking about is, you know, is alive and well. And in fact, CNN did an interview with her. I've got here's just a little bit of it because she called foul.
It seems to me starting in 2004. I arrived in Mexico City in 2008 when I was already a survivor.
Were you ever trafficked in the United States?
No, para nada.
Not at all. No. I was a victim here in Mexico.
In Mexico.
In Mexico, I was a victim of human trafficking.
What would you like to tell Senator Britt about what happened?
Well, at this moment, I would like her to get informed a little more about the topic and that. At some point, if she wants to contact me to talk about the topic, she can do so. She can also contact people who have really gone through what she says. I would love to have a pleasant chat with her instead of using it in a political way to gain a position.
Oh, so Spocko, that's, you know, I know there are some on the right still trying to defend her. How is she defending herself?
Well, she actually finally came out and said, what you mean, Britt?
Yeah.
Yeah, she finally came out and said that, you know, it was misinformation or whatever, but it was, but it still really happened. It's like, well, yeah, but.
But not here, not when you said, and yeah, sex trafficking sucks. It's bad. It happens. But what does that have to do with Joe Biden?
Yeah, just another way to rev up the fear.
Yeah, yeah, fear. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Now, yeah. Tomorrow, you've got on a guest. We've got Barb McQuaid coming in about her new book, Attack on Democracy. Mm-hmm. And I think that this was a really good kind of example of some of the things that she talks about the book. And when she comes on tomorrow, I'm hoping that she gets to some of the points that I found were really interesting about how the emotion is used to spread disinformation and updating our metaphors of how we think information is spread and how disinformation kind of wins the day. And she talks about how authoritarians use emotion and they strip out the, you know, the facts, the details to drive this kind of, you know, anger about it. So you can be angry about sex trafficking, but it is very different to leave out the very relevant information about who did what when and what kind of goals are being driven by the right wing who want to get pissed off about the border, not about sex trafficking.
Right. Well, you know what? It's all just it's just a load of bullshit. It's like they've got nothing real, so they have to make stuff up to get outraged about. She couldn't have found an actual story. You know, when Jonathan Larson's going to be here, you know, the guy behind the fucking news. And one of the stories he's going to tell us about is the Lakin, God, what was her last name? I'm just
Lakin.
It wasn't Lincoln. It sounded like Joe Biden said Lincoln. Look, Lakin is an unusual first name. He's got some new information about that story too, because it, you know, we get these half story, Lakin Riley. That's it. You know, it's terrible that she was killed. I hate to say it, there are murders every day, although fewer murders now than when the former guy was in office. But they don't tell you those things. You know, Trump in his speech went on and on about, I don't know if you heard that, here, let me play this for you if I have it handy. Okay, when Trump, you heard this, when he mocked Biden's stutter. Here's Trump speaking at a rally in Georgia a day or two after the State of the Union.
Ago, we all heard Crooked Joe's angry, dark, hate-filled rant of a State of the Union address. Wasn't it? Didn't it bring us together? Remember, he said, "I'm going to bring the country to together."
Okay, so there's this piece of shit mocking Biden's stutter, which this time Biden didn't say he was going to bring us together, right? He did last mm-hmm. time. We saw how far that got us. So this time, Biden did the right thing and went on the offense instead of defense. But Trump got even more offensive here.
No. He's a threat to democracy. I will tell you, he's a threat to democracy.
No, Trump is.
Weaponized government, weaponized the FBI.
When I talk about opposite world, this is what I'm talking about. Because Trump is ascribing all the things that Biden does that he does to Biden, right? And then when he gets better.
Weaponize the DOJ.
Yes.
He's a threat to democracy.
You
for
are.
Other reasons also. Number one, he's grossly incompetent.
Trump is.
Joe Biden gave the most divisive, partisan, radical, and extreme speech ever delivered by a president in that chamber. Not even close.
No, that would be Trump. Spocko, do you remember when Trump gave Rush Limbaugh the Medal of Freedom during the State of the Union address? You want to talk about divisive?
Ugh. No, I actually do want to talk about that. I think that this is part of the thing that, and again, Barb McQuaid tomorrow.
Yes,
going
I can't
to
wait.
Talk about one of the ways that they continually repeat misinformation and lies in a way that there's not going to cut through the bubble, the people who have been, you know, trained just to listen to Trump.
Right.
And again, he has, Trump has continually lied about certain things. What I'm interested in about next is going to be what's going to happen after he recently defamed E. Jean Carroll. Now,
again,
maybe we'll talk about this with,
Jonathan,
Mr.
Jonathan,
Fucking News.
Jonathan Larson.
But there has been the other thing about following up in detail, which is that $91 million bond, another a reporter looked and found out that there are some Kremlin connections to that bond. And the big issue is going to be who will Trump be beholden to for that kind of money? And I think, and Lisa Rubin made a comment on the shitters about this, which was there is a opportunity there to look into, again, the way that Trump uses the system in order to pay his bills, but also then he becomes beholden to somebody. Is this a national security threat?
Yes.
Just because he then gets, you know, how many millions of dollars for this? Well, he should be having some sort of suggestion to say, is it okay to have somebody who's got these kind of ties to do it? And I don't know. And this may be a legal thing. It may be something that the judge can do. I did read that E. Jean Carroll's people did allow it to go forward, the bond to go forward. They changed some, you know, terms of it to make sure that she got the money when Trump inevitably loses the appeal. Mm-hmm. But I think it gives Trump, again, a way to talk about and try and relitigate. When he put up the money, he just started defaming her again, thinking,
again,
hey, you know, I'll
right.
relitigate it in the public space,
right?
Not on the world of the judge and adjudicate it. And I think this is one of our big challenges, is to say, how do we make it so that he actually stops, because the fine clearly wasn't enough?
No, but they also didn't specify that he is prohibited from defaming her going forward. And I guess they need to make that clear, make that part of the ruling, or they keep filing new suits against him.
Yeah. I still remember that when the huge bit came up on the defamation lawsuit. And I think it was one of the TV lawyers was saying, you know, I've never had somebody who's lost a defamation suit then keep doing it, because they're kind of like, that's what they're supposed to learn. You're supposed to learn that you're not supposed to go along those areas again. And that's another area that I want to talk when Barb comes on tomorrow, which is, so what if you can't stop them criminally? Then you do the civil suits, the defamation suits. That's supposed to stop and have the incentive to have Fox News, for example, stop talking about bad election machines.
Right, but they haven't.
Exactly.
A billion-dollar fine wasn't enough to make them do that. Spocko, David's here.
Great.
I'm sorry, but both you and Spocko missed the most salient point of what the lard father was spewing. And it was nothing that he said. It was the reaction from that inbred, knuckle-dragging, drooling bunch of yokels laughing when he mocked Biden's stutter.
Yep.
That was the worst.
Yeah, they show who they are every single day, constantly. And they did. But they do. That's what they do. You know, there's no real there. And yeah, having the people laugh was insane. But that's, you know, they are all products of not only misinformation, but disinformation. And that is what we'll be talking with Barb McQuaid about tomorrow.
Hate the same. I think it was one of the things that I thought was very interesting was they talked about authoritarians. One of the parts of it is you hate the same people. And so that is part of what it is, saying you giving you permission to mock people who are different from you and hate people different from you. It's okay. That's not a social norm. It's kind of, ha, 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 that's hilarious. Let's punch down at people. That, I think, is another part, which is, we talk about political violence. Barb can talk about this kind of connection between disinformation and political violence. You remember in the State of the Union speech, Biden talked about condemning political violence? None of the GOP stood up and applauded that.
Not one. And it is important to note that although the reaction from the opposition party has always been more subdued, there are times historically when they have stood and applauded on something like that. There's no place for political violence in our elections. That should have gotten everyone on their feet, but they got a directive. You do not applaud, you do not stand up.
Yeah. Well, I do think that this is part of the issue that and again, I'm reading Barb's book, Attack from Within, and mm-hmm. I wanted to know was why is it that things can't seem to go forward? Like, why can't we prosecute political violence more? Like, Judge Egerons, remember all of his clerks who was all these yes. death threats? Whatever happened to them? Has anybody followed up on those death threats of the people of the clerk? Why haven't they been charged?
Good question.
And one of the things they found out from Barb's book was something called the FBI has something that they have a directive of investigations of, and I can't remember what the name is. It's called DIGO or DIGO. And what it is it's a directive to stop the FBI from its abuses back during the Church Committee
right.
when they found out how they're going after the civil rights groups, etc. And that was part of the reason that reason that the FBI gave for not following up on the January 6th threats that were coming through. And Barb says, but they're supposed to. But Christopher Wray said, well, you know, we really can't monitor them. This is, again, one of the reasons why some of these threats are not followed up on, because the FBI doesn't want to because they're afraid that it's going to fall into some sort of, it'll be, you know, free speech, etc. This, I think, is going to be one of the key areas that I think people need to understand is that when we want things to happen, they are being blocked by an old attitude about an old bad history about the FBI going after, you know, peace activists, etc., civil rights. But the thing has changed now because the kind of threats that they're getting are from the right. And the FBI doesn't want to acknowledge that, and they don't want to prosecute. So this is a thing that I'm really hoping that Barb gets into, is a chapter she talks about the reluctance to investigate mm-hmm. and the reluctance to prosecute. That, I think, is going to be part of it on the FBI side that I'm hoping that she can talk about what can be done to make things differently.
Cool. Well, Barb McQuaid will be here tomorrow. It'll be live. She's coming on about a quarter after the hour, depending on what hour it is where you're listening, and will be with us for the rest of the hour. So I've got some time with her. Hopefully we'll get into some of that. Spocko, I'll be looking for your notes because I haven't had time to read the whole thing. Oh, David's back. Yes, David.
One question to Spocko.
Yes.
Who is Christopher Wray's boss? What agency does the FBI operate under?
I have no idea.
Department of Justice.
Like, that's a tough
And who
question.
Runs the Department of Justice? That's why these Merrick maggot Garland. Cocksuckers aren't being pursued.
Okay. Thank you, David. Spocko, thank you.
Thank you.
It's Monday. We hit the ground running. All right.
Happy Monday. Lack of sleep is part of it.
Well, no, we didn't lose sleep here in Arizona. Right? Because we don't set our clocks back. But I lose an hour. You know, you guys lost 1 hour of sleep for one night. Big effing deal. I did not lose an hour of sleep, but I lose an hour of show prep time every day until the rest of the country goes back to normal. Oh, sorry, standard time. Because now I go on the air at 2 o'clock Arizona time when I was going on at 3. So just so you know, I'm feeling your pain today.
Damn you!
All right, Spocko, I'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. You know what time it is, don't y'all?
It's time for the fucking news from NicoleSandler.com.
And Jonathan Larson at thefuckingnews.substack.com.
He said a very bad word.
Oh, the language on you.
You're a fucking newsman.
The fucking news.
Gotta wait for the laugh. It's my favorite part of the whole thing. Hey, Jonathan Larson, how you doing?
I'm okay. I don't know if you can tell. I hope it's not an insult, but I'm a little dressed down today because in my head, I'm about to go on vacation.
You so are. Where are you going?
I have a college buddy down in Florida who we see like every spring break.
You're going to Florida with spring break. Be careful.
I'm not going to like co-ed central or anything. It's
you don't have to. You don't have to. There are Nazis, you know, outside of Disney World that the governor apparently has no problem with. You know, just be careful. You're going to see a lot of pickup trucks decked out in Trump regalia, especially if you go to Palm Beach.
Now, I will not be in Palm Beach.
I'm not talking.
It's a very progressive area. Well, as relatively speaking,
I'm not talking about Palm Beach. West Palm Beach. West Palm Beach is fine. It's when you go over the bridge and you're on Palm Beach. They hang out with their trucks and flags and regalia by Mar-a-Lago. You know, they're the kind of people that Donald Trump really enjoys having around, don't you?
Because I think he enjoys anyone who likes him. I don't think he cares whether they have pickup trucks or Benzes or whatever.
No, he doesn't, though. He hates those people.
Even if they love him?
Even if they love him, he thinks they're morons, just like he does, you know, anybody in the military. He has nothing but contempt for them. And in private, he mocks them. He thinks it's hysterical that these idiots, these lowlives, these commoners give him all their money and they support him thinking that he's one of them. He's not one of them. He does not have any respect at all for these people. You know, he loves the poorly educated because they're stupid enough to vote for him.
I do think a lot of them understand what he is, but they see it as sort of a Faustian bargain. I don't know if he is aware of that, but I do think some of them are onto him, but they see him executing the things that they want and potentially the people that they want. So I do think that's an interesting aspect of as well. But there are certainly, as you say, there's like an entire subculture of people who think that this is literally Jesus's man on earth at the moment. That's certainly the case.
Yeah, but you know, when you get into those religious kind of crazies, that's a whole other world, and it's frankly a world that we need to be aware of because they're the crazy ones who will take to the streets, who will carry out his political violence because they think he's Jesus's man. It's all insane to me, but there are people who live and die by this stuff.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I have sort of a weird contrarian take, which is my thing,
yes,
I should say. I sort of find like the lefty spiritual religious folks a little weirder and tougher to comprehend. Hmm. Like to me, it seems pretty logical that if you believe there is a God and you believe that God thinks things and wants things, then you would work to do those things. Like that seems a pretty obvious thing. You know, the God is all powerful and all knowing. I should probably do what he wants. So I sort of respect the logic of the seven mountains, right? If God is everything and Jesus is everything, then why wouldn't you want to bake that into your answers for everything? And I actually, I'm trying my best. The fucking news is going on. We're not going on hiatus. In fact, just the opposite. While I'm away, I do think it's important to like sometimes disengage a bit for your mental health and your clarity. But I have a lot of guilt, right, about the folks who they tell me that like they really rely on getting that hit from me in the morning. So even though I'm not going to be chiming in on the daily news stuff while I'm gone, I am banking some like bigger think pieces, and this issue is exactly one of them. The idea of what you said, that we need to confront and look at what is the actual problem here. And this is something you and I have touched on before, that John Fugelsang, a comedian and a, you know, someone I've gotten along with and have a lot of respect for and think is like criminally funny and smart. But where we differ is I think he's in the crowd that says that, you know, Mike Johnson is not a real Christian, that kind of thing. And I think that is blinding us to the dangers of actual Christianity, right? If you look at centuries of history, it's not unprecedented for Christian leaders to do things that seem unchristlike.
Unchristlike, right.
Yeah, which does not make them Christian. It means we need to confront the full breadth of Christianity and not assume that Christian is synonymous with good. Like, that's discriminatory towards everyone.
They act as if it is. And if by someone saying, well, I'm a good Christian, that right. absolves you of your guilt for being a fucking asshole.
Sure.
Right.
But being a good Christian can mean a couple of different things. It means you're good at being a Christian, which doesn't mean you're a good person, or it can mean you're a good person who is a Christian. But either way, we need to understand that Christian does not mean anything other than an adherent of this faith, period, full stop.
Right. But what's so funny is I've listened to enough of those man on the street interviews when they go into diners and talk to, you know, Fox especially, and talk to people wearing their MAGA hats. And they say, well, I support President Trump because right. he's a good Christian. First of all, on no level. You cannot show me where that statement is true on any definition, whatever you decide good Christian means. He doesn't fit the bill. You can't give me any definition in which that is true.
So this is a tough one for me because I think it depends on what they mean by a good Christian. Certainly there's a lot of textual evidence that this is a guy who has lied about both Corinthians, right? This is a guy who has pretty clearly no background in Christian faith
nothing.
Or Christian theology.
Right. Nor right. do That's, I, but I admit it. Right. I admit that my Jewish right. religious training came right. from watching the Ten Commandments on TV over Easter break. That's right. how I know the story of Moses and the parting of the Red Sea and Passover. Right, right, right. And because I never had the training, because we did not have religion in our house. We'd light the Hanukkah candles and bet on which color candle would burn down first. That's my religious training. But I've often said, I'm a better, quote, Christian than so many of these people who claim to be, because I believe in doing unto others as I want them to treat me.
Right. And I would argue that that elevates Christianity. That's a form of Christian exceptionalism.
Right.
To say that Christian is synonymous with good, that's discriminatory against every other religion.
You're right.
And it's a form of Christian exceptionalism. To my mind, I've been reading up a little bit on the Nicene Creed, like the original definition. Back when years only had three digits, the original definition of what it meant to be Christian. And also back in the 20th century, C.S. Lewis, the sort of great Christian apologist who also wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, of right. course, but also the Space Trilogy, you know, he wrote a book called Mere Christianity. And the through line for all of these works is that these Christian people, they say that the faith is not defined by morality. Being Christian does not mean you act like Jesus. It doesn't mean you do the things he says. It doesn't even mean you agree with him. All it means is that you accept him as your savior. If he is your God, you are a Christian, period, full stop. And where I think you have a point about Trump is that he's never said that, right? We've never heard him say, well, you know, back in 1987, I fell to my knees and tears poured out of my eyes, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, right? We've never heard anything remotely like that. So even he doesn't seem to sort of assert his own personal Christianity. But the difference, I would say, is Mike Johnson certainly has. And for the left to say, no, you don't get to decide your religion, that's, to me, that's cognitively dissonant. So that's where I agree with you.
But
and
when,
I don't know
who says they don't get to decide their religion?
If you say that Mike Johnson, and this is what I'm writing about in one of the pieces that's going to be out, which folks can read if they subscribe, there's a lot of people out there who say Mike Johnson's not a Christian. I don't have chapter and verse, as it were, in front of me, but that's not hard to find if you Google people saying, and John Fugel saying is certainly one of them. This is a very common thing you hear from the left, that the Christians on the right, they're not Christian. And really self-serving, right? It's like, that means you don't have to take responsibility for what your religion is capable of generating, which, by the way, if you read a history book, you should probably be prepared to grapple with the reality of what your religion has been able to create. We had this debate after 9/11, right? Mm-hmm. After 9/11, it was like, there was a lot of people saying, well, those were clearly not Muslims. Well, what religion were they? What religion is Mike Johnson? What are we supposed to think when people make these claims?
Again, we could do a whole show on religion and the ugly parts of religion. First of all, you had the Pope, I guess, is coming under heat this week for saying that Ukraine should just give it up and make nice with Russia and end the war. Ukraine should just surrender and say, Putin, come on, take our nation. What the hell? There are, every goddamn big war in this world, in our history, had religion at the core of it. If we didn't have religion, chances are we wouldn't have so many wars.
I mean, I think that's actually something I touched on in the piece about Mike Johnson, is that the presumption, and that's what I would say it is, the presumption for one individual to say, I know what's going on in that person's mind and or ostensible soul, like, that's, as you say, that whether even, look, there have been a lot of times in history, like in the Troubles in Ireland, where that sort of thing, it hasn't been about the theology, it's become tribal, but those tribes were defined by the theology. So your point, I think, is right there, but it also means that's where we get in trouble with the, I'm fit to decide what your religion is. You're Christianing wrong because you're Catholic. I'm Christianing right because I'm Protestant. You're Musliming wrong because you're Sunni. I'm Musliming right because I'm Shiite.
Right.
That, I think, is, it's not just the conflict, right? It's the basis and the instigation for that conflict is that notion that I'm godding correctly, you're godding incorrectly.
But here's the opposite world example of it. Joe Biden, devout Catholic, goes to church every week. He is Catholic. This is his thing. He's there. Irish Catholic. Donald Trump probably never went to church, has no religious, formal religious beliefs, probably never read the Bible. But these evangelicals, the dominionists, the really over the top, God is coming and all the Jews need to go back to Israel so we can all be raptured, people say Joe Biden is not a real Christian, but Donald Trump is.
Right, right. That's right. And to me, that's all the more evidence that the left should not be doing that.
Yeah, I just say all religion is crazy.
I look, as an atheist, I'm sort of intellectually committed to the position you just articulated, but I do have a lot of respect for the people who are religious and are genuine in their faith and will say, I also experience doubt, and for that reason, I don't feel it's okay for me to either to impose my religious beliefs or even to act on them in the political sphere. I have a lot of respect for those people. I believe things that are wrong too. I may not be aware of what they are, but the importance of sort of gauging your valid claims to certainty is paramount when it comes to deciding whether or not you're going to act on your certainty in the public sphere. So there are certainly things where I think, you know what, I'm not sure enough. I'm not schooled enough to have an opinion that I can stand behind forcefully. And so in those cases, this may be hard to believe, I shut up, right? And I respect the religious people who feel similarly and keep their religious beliefs out of their work. And just so folks know, I am working on another story, which I think is going to be pretty big, which I'm going to do, which is exactly about this kind of thing.
Cool.
Pretty high up in the government, coming after, hopefully at the end of the month, beginning of April.
Okay, good to know. So Jonathan, I don't know if you, David's very verbose today. And I know he's a pen pal of yours now, too.
So. Yes, we corresponded via email, Jonathan.
Is that right?
Yes, he's been writing to you.
Yes, we've corresponded. You've responded to my emails. It's nice to meet you this way. And you both have missed another set of theocrats whose delusions have shaped world policy, and that's the imbeciles in Israel. Their Knesset is very, very impacted by the orthodox crazies in the Likud party, who, if it wasn't for them, Bibi Netanyahu would be just another average criminal.
Well, and the coalition there, right? Not just Likud, but these like extraordinarily fringe right-wing orthodox Jewish parties.
They are every bit as bad or worse than the fucking Ayatollahs in Iran and
the
crazy
same shit
in a different bag.
Different religious symbol. I was going to say a different god they worship. But
again,
they all
nice
worship.
To meet you this way, Jonathan.
Hi. I got to go back and check because I do talk with a lot of readers. I must confess, I'm not placing you right now, so I apologize.
Because we have different last names because, I didn't take his name.
It's a very modern world.
We have different last names because Nicole is one of the uppity women who doesn't take her husband's last name.
Exactly. Why should I take your name? You didn't take my name.
Because
I'm
the man.
His wife's name. I have a lot of respect for that. Yeah.
Cool. See? Yeah. So he has a friend.
So because he's wrong? Doesn't mean I have.
All right. I'm turning off your mic. Get out of here.
Okay. Cancel patriarchy.
It's gone. Mic down. I give him his own mic because he used to he'd bend over here and okay. So now I gave him his own mic and now I could shut it off whenever I want.
I do think it was interesting to see, I don't know if you talked about this already, but Netanyahu, to David's point, like absolutely slapping back at Biden over the weekend, like using that phrase about the red line. That was pretty wild. Like, okay, let's see where this goes.
You know, I've taken a lot of heat and I will stand up for my position, which is Israel has a right to defend itself, has a right to exist. The hostages need to be released. Hamas needs to go. But the other part of it is Netanyahu is a fucking war criminal and should not be in office. He is Israel's Trump. And if we elect Trump, all the people who were out there protesting the Oscars last night, do they think or yelling at Joe Biden to stop doing what he's doing? He's not, do they think it'll be better under Trump? Trump would say, Bibi, go ahead and nuke him. He's going to do mass deportations if he gets back in office. If people think that the people in Gaza will fare better under Trump, let me tell you, you're sorely mistaken. At least Joe Biden gives a shit about human life.
I certainly think that's right. And I certainly reject the idea that the purity test for anything. Like the reality is, right? Sorry, the reality is on November whatever, you're going to have two choices.
That's right.
That's it.
That's
and
it.
And you choose the least bad, the lesser of two evils, the best, however you see it. That's the reality. But I do think because of that, because we are limited to those two choices, that's why it's so important up until that day, up until that morning, to move the best choice as far as you can towards the best positions, towards the best policies,
sure,
to motivate them to change.
Sure. But the thing is, I think people are misinformed. This is what we'll be talking with Barb McQuaid about tomorrow. It's so easy to jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, it sucks that people are being slaughtered. War sucks. The death toll is horrendous. It's just, it's hard to conceive of. But it's also hard to conceive of the people saying ceasefire now, but Hamas says they'll do October 7th over and over again until they wipe Israel and all the Jews off the face of the earth. How about no more October 7th? How about guarantee that? But they're saying Israel shouldn't, fight back. Just wait for the next October 7th to happen.
But look, this is the age-old dynamic, right? When you have these conflicts, you often have one party that is seen, rightly or wrongly, as utterly irrational, unmovable, immune to reason.
And it takes two to tango, baby.
That is Hamas, right? And everyone classifies them as impossible to move. So no one aims public pressure at them. There is, however, a reasonable argument to be made that Netanyahu might be moved if the U.S. pressures him. So that's why people focus their efforts there.
Oh, so Hamas, they're just evil to the bone, and so we can't do anything about them, so let's make Israel surrender.
I'm not saying surrender,
but
right?
That's what it would mean, we give up and you win. Yeah. If Israel stopped fighting now, Hamas, they still have all, they're taking all the money they can get, all the money, all the relief that's been sent. They built this network of tunnels and got all these ammunitions to destroy Israel, not to help the people, the Palestinians trapped in Gaza. And by the way, if they're trapped there, why doesn't Egypt open the border and let them through? Even just to let them out, go out to sea through Egypt. But you don't hear those criticisms. It's all, it's all or nothing.
Again, people aim the pressure towards where they think it's physics, right? You put your pressure where the lever is. That's all. We saw this after 9/11, right? People were more mad at Bush, at least after a while, than they were at Bin Laden. Although people forget, we weren't even sure who did it. I do. I mean, all the protests in the street were about don't invade Iraq. It wasn't about stop, destroying our skyscrapers. People aim their anger and their fury and their righteous interest in change at the people they think are movable. And there's some logic to that. I get that reasoning.
Yeah, about the CIA.
Biden is moving, right? So you can say that the people who were calling for a ceasefire on October 8th or however soon it was, maybe politically they were too soon, but Biden's moving towards them. They're not losing.
Yeah, but
this
Biden is
battle.
Also saying, we're not saying, a ceasefire if Hamas doesn't guarantee that they'll release the hostages and the stop the fatwa on Israel.
I mean,
right? All I know
is moving.
Good, because they want to stop the killing. I want to stop the killing, but I also want those hostages released.
The other thing I think is dangerous is to assume that maximal military force is the avenue that leads to the hostage releases
and
the best outcomes.
And that's Netanyahu, who's waging this war simply so he can stay out of jail. I really believe that. I think that if someone more sane were in office, they would have done a strategic rescue mission to get the hostages out, not just blanket bomb the whole country.
So do you support that? Would you prefer to see Israel carry out strategic surgical strikes?
Without a doubt. But I think they need to do something. And I think to do a one-sided laying down of arms. Look, the reason the Iron Dome is there is because rockets are flying into Israel every fucking day. People have bomb shelters in their homes because it's the only way they survive. They have air raid sirens going off constantly. And most people don't realize that because they've been able to defend themselves on that front. But the attacks are coming every day. And again, the stated goal of Hamas and others in the region is to destroy Israel and with it every Jew living. And I may not be practicing. I may be an atheist, but I'm still Jewish and they still want me dead.
Right. And as a human being, let alone an atheist, alone whatever silo you want me to put me in, I would certainly agree. Like the desire and the stated intent to destroy Israel and to kill Jewish people, regardless of their theological background, that is first class, number one, capital A, bad.
Really?
No
bad.
Question
Thank
whatsoever.
You.
That's like as bad as it gets, right?
And too few people are saying that. That's the problem. It's all pro-Palestinian. Well, my favorite is Queers for Palestine. Really? So you think if Israel was wiped out, Hamas wins, and it's Palestine from the river to the sea, you think you're going to be welcome there, Mr. or Miss Gay American?
So I think you're absolutely right that there are probably some people in that cohort who are saying it possibly out of ignorance because they think it's some
diverse utopia or something. Evil. Yes.
But I also think it's not fair to assume that none of them are well aware of that, but still think, even because that culture or that theology would deny them their rights, that those people don't also deserve civil rights. Well, I think we have to give credit to at least some of those, you know, Queers for Palestine or whatever it is, people, for knowing that and saying, you know what, despite their views about me that I find abhorrent, I still, you know, I disagree with what you say, but I defend to the death your right to say.
Well, I want to stop the killing.
Acknowledge that.
I want to stop the killing, but I don't want them to kill me or eliminate all the Jews. Hello.
Right.
Well, I don't know if you saw the Oscars last night, but the winner of the best documentary was I don't remember the name of the film, but it is a film about the Holocaust, about the concentration camps. And he gets up there and he says, I retract, or what word he used,
rebuke,
I don't know.
I think it
rebuke
was.
My Judaism.
Yeah.
Well, bullshit.
That's not what he said. What he said, if you look at the full quote, was, I refute my Judaism and the Holocaust being used in a certain way. Now, I'm not blaming you for that. It was reported.
It was horrible. I'm sorry. As a Jew, as a non-practicing atheist Jew, I was offended, and everybody I know who is of a similar mind was offended.
But I do think it was widely misreported. I think the full quote that I saw, what he was saying was, I reject my Jewishness being used in this political way.
Well, I don't think it's being used at all. It's our identity. And for him, after having witnessed the Holocaust and seeing that that's exactly what they want to do, that this Hamas sect wants, and others, many others, from Hezbollah to all these groups, want to eliminate not only the state of Israel, but every Jew on the planet. That alone, that is Nazi, just under a different time, a different place. And for him to say he refutes it, boy, that was just, whoa. that was, stop the show.
Can I ask a genuine non?
Yeah, please.
Asshole question. Did you watch it in real time? Were you watching it?
We watched it on delay. We didn't watch it in real time because we let it record and then we fast forwarded through.
So you saw his full remarks. You
I saw
them.
The whole thing. I was
offended.
Oh, that's interesting.
So highly
offended.
You saw it in that way and the moment. So you were not relying on the reporting.
Nope.
Because the way I've seen, I did not watch it, I confess. I was working on this morning's fucking news. The way I've seen it reported in the full quote, I took it the way I've been articulating it. But that's interesting that maybe he screwed up.
I refute my Jewishness, I believe is how he said it. I refute my Jewishness.
Right. But it was .. being used.
It doesn't matter. It's not being used. It's a reality. This is our history. This is what we grew up knowing.
That's interesting.
Never again. And October 7th was again. And what's happened since October 7th, the levels of anti-Semitism. And for me, I don't go to temple. I'm not in Jewish communities, but I feel it. I feel it on social media. I feel it everywhere I go. And for him to, stand up, just rub me the wrong way.
I can certainly understand that. It sounds like if it came off that way, then maybe he should have come up with somewhat more precise phrasing to articulate
without
what he
a
wanted
doubt.
To.
Without a doubt. Well,
that's
on that note, you're going down to South Florida where there's lots of Jewish people. Although Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis don't seem to really care because Ron DeSantis screams about the Nazis, but doesn't say anything about the ones protesting for a Disney World every day. So,
they do need at least, I think, 144,000 Jews to be left over for to be left behind.
Do they? See, I don't know.
Stuff. I think I have this right. It's either Revelation or Daniel.
They need
or
us
something.
To go back to Israel, though. That's why Israel. That's why they. Right. That's why they support Israel, not for any other reason, but they want us to go back there so they can be raptured.
They're supposed to. I believe they're supposed to witness and then convert or something like that, and then everyone who doesn't, really bad things happen forever. But that is part of the prophecy. That's why the state of Israel has to exist forever
right.
in the Christian evangelical theology. And you need Jerusalem to be the capital. That's at the heart of the embassy, wow. right? All of this stuff has to do with the biblical
religion.
Prophecies.
Religion. It's the root of all evil. Damn it.
And what I find interesting is, in this case, what's so problematic about this element of religion is not the theological differences that divide sects. In this case, it's prophecy. It's the belief that something will happen. Not that something is good or bad, but that something will happen, which means if you believe that, how are you not obligated then to ensure that that happens, right? That's a big problem as well, which again, we don't talk about at all
no.
in our civic or political discourse. And that's wild. We really need to talk about that in a serious, you know, methodical way, which of course our television conversations just aren't engineered yeah, no. to have.
So. And also people who are too steeped in these religions, I don't think can reasonably argue it either because they have their beliefs in, you know, men in the sky. I think it needs, you know, sober minds who are not infected with this God stuff. It's never going to happen. At least not in my lifetime. Jonathan Larson, yeah. what? Enjoy your vacation. So we will not talk next Monday, but we'll see you the following Monday.
No fucking news next Monday.
No fucking news. I may just have to sleep in. All right, Jonathan Larson, do subscribe to thefuckingnews.substack.com. Get it in your mailbox every day. And then, you know, if he skips a day on Monday here, it's not the end of the world.
And I do have, like I said, I'm so excited to talk about this with you. In fact, as we got on, I was kind of like doing some research. I've got what I think is a big story coming up, and I'll certainly share it with you. And if folks subscribe, they'll get it and they'll see it.
Cool. Well, I'll share it if it comes while you're on vacation, but otherwise we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
Hopefully it won't, because then I'll screw up my vacation.
Gotcha.
I literally know this is going to be a challenge not to like watch my emails and do my little research.
I'll tell you what to do when you're in Florida. The beach. The Atlantic yes. Ocean is the best part of Florida, but watch it because it's getting so hot
Gulf that Coast, it's really, actually, yeah.
Oh, Gulf Coast. Okay. So it's a lot calmer on that side.
It's lovely.
Trumpier on that side, but it's a lot. Well, it used to be anyway. I don't know anymore.
The whole state's where you Trumpy. Are, I think. Yeah.
The whole state's Trumpy. Enjoy. Steer Thank clear you. Of oil spills and have fun.
Thank
Bye.
You. See
Bye.
You in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Have a good time. And that does it for us for today. Tomorrow, yes, Barbara McQuaid will be here. We're going to talk about misinformation, disinformation, bad information, information overload, and stuff like that. All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. With that, we're done. We made it through Monday. All right. Have a great night. See you tomorrow. Peace out.